what do you see this morning? You look out and you see empty seats. Well, praise God.
Opportunity.
You know, we can look in different eyes this morning. And I can remember 7 years ago, Bolnuevo being there in very early days, just a few of us. Lord, who will you bring in today? Will we see somebody new today? And we saw this couple looking at the A-frame board outside the building, looking like this, and we thought, new people. Praise God. Straight away, there's new people, Lord. Wonderful. And everybody was like hovering around and didn't want to be too obviously hovering around. And the door opened and this distinguished couple came in, and turned out that they were French, and they wanted to know what time we started serving food. They saw the board and they couldn't read. You know, but now, what do we look at this morning? We look out and we've seen opportunities. You know, all I know that some of you will be away Christmas Eve, but just encourage everybody that can be here. This is our big opportunity night of the year. People will come. Maybe for the wrong reasons. Maybe for the right reasons. How did we come to Jesus? We have an opportunity here on Christmas Eve to be here and to share with those others the love of Jesus. They're going to come, you know, and I just really encourage you. I just really feel so much this year is going to be a year of opportunity. You know, we talked about so much about going out, and God's blessed us this year. We've been able to go out into the community and serve our community, you know, and people are amazed when I tell them, when we go to Campus Hall, and they say, well, did you get a few come? They say, well, you know, there was only 60 or 70 on the first night, you know, and there was only 240 on the second night, you know, and they think, wow, where did all, you know. Christmas is a wonderful time because people are thinking in all sorts of ways and forms, but thinking about Jesus. You know, we have an opportunity to share his love with people. So just I encourage you, if you can come to Campus Hall and sing with us, come and do that. It's going to be hectic. I just bless you guys for leading this morning. My fingers just aren't up. Christmas carols kill my fingers with the guitar, and it's so I'm used to playing them. But, you know, it's going to be really, from Wednesday night onwards, it's going to be a busy few days, but what a blessed opportunity. What a chance we're going to get of reaching out and touching people with Jesus' love. And just pray about it and say, Father, what can I, give me the word to say to somebody this Christmas that's going to bless them, going to be a release for them. So when you look out, you know, and see empty chairs this morning, it's nothing like it was a few years ago. And we look back and we say, wow, 7 years, three churches, and people are meeting like this in three different provinces of Spain because of what happened in Bolnuevo. All those 7 years ago, it's a few people who were faithful and prepared to say, yes, Lord, we'll do this for you. You know, don't belittle what God can do. And that's really what my message this morning, speaking on the very last one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking about the working of miracles this morning. Father, we want a miracle in our lives. We want a miracle. We want to see the working of miracles taking place. Not only in this book as we read about them, but in this building, in our hearts, in our communities, in our villages, in the places we live. Let's just believe in for the God of miracles to be miraculous. You know, everything about it. And Cliff mentioned this morning, just naturally in passing, it was just a passing comment that he made, but it's so true. And we look at it, you know, we have things happening miraculously around us every day of the week. We don't see them sometimes. God's care, his protection over us, we take it for granted. You know, I can remember all sorts of stories as a young person, and, you know, growing up in God and in the church. And, you know, I can just look back now as a young man and as good as a rep out on the roads and driving those 30-odd thousand miles a year they used to do. You know, the times God has protected me and kept me for such a time as this, because he knew there was work to do in Cayo Madrid, Puerto Matron in 2012/13. He knew there was a meaning to that. And I just praise God for every miracle he's worked in my life. I look back over it. And sometimes it's good to look back, not to dwell too far, but look to the future. But sometimes we measure sometimes what God's done by what's happened in the past. And you know, it's amazing. A friend here from South Africa, God bless you, thank you for coming this morning. And it was just amazing. And this is another story from the very beginning, as we stood at the statue of Christ in the port here, before the church was even started, and we said, one of our prayers was, Father, bring people from the north, the south, the east and the west. And when we said it, somebody says, but one of those is the sea, you know. And God has brought so many seafaring people into this building over the last 7 years, into the church, you know, and who knows, the seeds of the blowing in the wind that have gone amongst other nations of the world, and you know, and just you are just one of many who have come here, and we thank God for you for coming all this way this morning. Not from South Africa, from Cartagena, of course, but you've done really well to get from South Africa this morning. But no, it is a real privilege to have you with us, and you, I'd say, just one of many, because, you know, when we say things and pray things, it's amazing how God comes through. And yes, you'll bring people from the sea, you know, and I just thank somebody to look up as well. Father, bring people from the sky, you know, and but no, it was just amazing what God can do. Praise Him. The working of miracles. This is, I say, the last one of our gifts of the Spirit. And I just wanted to share with you today that a miracle is something that happens which defies the laws of nature. You see, healings, we talked about, well, I tried to last week, didn't get very far with it, did I? But I will get the notes sorted out. For those who want copies of the notes, you can have the notes for last week. God took me in a slightly different direction. But that was the intention. It was gifts, plural, of healings last week. But this is the working of miracles. And there's a little bit of difference between the two. The same Spirit, as it says in Corinthians, the same Spirit is working, but a different gift. And it's just absolutely amazing that this gift of miracles, the working of miracles. You know, I mean, how much do you want God to use you? You know, I throw that question out this morning. How much do you want Him to use you? And we say, I'm only me. You know, I've tried before, it doesn't work. And all these sorts of things we can put in the way. We can talk ourselves out of moving in this fantastic, supernatural way that God has for us. And, you know, miracles defy reason. Totally supernatural. They are things that shouldn't normally happen. Some people call them creative things. God creates things. You know, somebody who hasn't got an eye, and an eye is formed. Wow, well, you know, that would spark off something in Matteron. We see a few people come through the door. But let's not just look for that way. Let's look for the manifestation of Father through the working of miraculous signs and wonders. That's going to take, because you see, miracles draw people to Him. It's not about us performing the miracle, standing there and doing it. It's not about us. We look right through these gifts: gift of faith, of believing, gift of healings, gifts of healings, and now the working of miracles. The prophet, you know, the evangelist. It's not about them. It's about God working through that person. And so often you can see people go off the rails because it turns out to be all about them and not all about God. All about them, all about what I can do. You see, miracles is so miraculous. It has to be about what God can do. Not what you can do, not what I can do. It's all about Him. Miracles defy reason. We can't get our heads around it. Healings are renewing, repairing, whereas miracles create something from nothing. God is a God of miracles. The God we worship this morning is a God of miracles. He's a God who creates something from nothing. I look around at this church this morning. I look around at the three churches that have been formed in the last 7 years. It was something from nothing. It's a miracle in itself. You know, this church here today, this is a miracle in progress. This is a miracle in progress that so many of us, from so many different religious backgrounds, could actually get on together, can just be together. But this is a miracle that He's working out in here, because when we concentrate on Him, and not about our differences, not about the things that separate us, but the things that join us together, that's when God does a miracle. Doesn't the scripture say there about when brothers dwell together in unity, there I will command a blessing. God commands a blessing. When men and women in his church are in unity, there's great blessing that comes out of that situation. God uses miracles to turn the eyes of the people to him, to his son. And I believe miracles are a prelude to salvation. You see a miracle and people's hearts are set free. People's faith level rise and they can believe for anything. Boy, if we saw something, if we saw an eye created where there was no eye, if we saw the lame man at the temple 40 years with deformed legs, you know, this guy didn't have legs like you and me that could just jump up and say, I'm healed. He had never walked from birth, 40 years. Have you seen what 40 years of wastage does to the limbs? I remember Dawn and Chris looking after a young man in his right to until he died at 20. He had a cerebral palsy he had, and was basically just stuck in a position sort of like that. They laid him, they cared for him and loved him, and sort of were like almost like his foster parents when mum and dad wanted a break and they had him. And I saw this young man year after year, and everything just got just totally just out of sorts, you know. Didn't even look like legs in the end and arms like the end, because everything was so deformed and out of place, you know. And when I'm thinking of Peter and John coming into the temple that day, you know, this man sat there at the gate, beautiful. His legs would have been like that because they're unused. There's no muscles in them to use. They wouldn't have been normal legs. But because the miracle of God happened that day, this man got up, and it doesn't just say he got up, but he ran up and down and leapt up in the air, and people saw it. And this was, as is described in Acts, a notable miracle. This is something, you know. Church, if we had a notable miracle happen here, you know, that was the prelude of another 2,000 being added to the church, the miracle that God did that day through Peter as he walked into that place. You know, God is the God of miracles. You know, he can fill this place tomorrow. It's as quick as that sometimes, if we can believe for it. But so often we can't believe for it, so often we find it difficult. And we're going to be looking at three scriptures this morning. Three scriptures, as I said last week, getting slightly Christmassy. It'd be very difficult to bring Christmas into this. But I will talk about Mary and the mother of Jesus for a little while this morning. And I looked at it and said, what's the common factor? What is the common denominator? When you look at scripture, you look at miracles happening. You know, and I believe what the common denominator there was that people were obedient. It wasn't just about faith. It wasn't about having great faith or little faith. It was faith combined with obedience. That not only would people believe, but they would actually do what God had said. And so often we were saying, is it you, Lord? Did you really say that? You know, did you really say, go and touch that lady and pray with her this morning? Did you really say? You know, and so we can talk ourselves out of the miracle all the time, completely. Did we really, you know, was it really you that this young lady asked us to go and sing down her bar? Or was it just like, you know, shall we just go for the sake of it now? I believe it was listening and hearing, and I believe miracles will come from that. People's lives can be touched by that. And these are day-to-day things that God places in our way, and will we respond, or will we just let it go and say, maybe? But I believe that, as I said, the common factor in these miracles that we read in Scripture was, yes, faith, but people's obedience, and they cooperated with what God wanted, with God's will, what he had for them to do in the situation. If you've got your Bibles with you, if Will wants to find it on the computer, I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 1. This is NIV. Luke 1. And let's look at this for a couple of minutes this morning. And this is Duncan touched on it a couple of weeks ago when he did his first part. He'll be doing that next Sunday, finishing his Advent calendar. as we run up to the Lord's birth, the celebration of his birth. And here we have here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, we have the birth of Jesus foretold by the angel to Mary. And it says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled, I think I would have been as well, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Don't forget now that Mary was probably only a teenager, probably only in her early teens. So this wasn't some learned lady who'd had years of life experience behind her. This was a young lady, just on the start of her life, really. And then this angel comes and speaks to her. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." What a wonderful thing to find favor with God. What a wonderful thing for every one of us here today to find favor. You know, to a certain extent, we have found favor when we received Jesus into our lives. You know, favor was spread over us. Favor was shared with us on that day. But here was a specific calling for a specific purpose, for a specific miracle. And she was the one who God had favored. So don't be afraid, you have found favor with God. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And she says to him, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the powers of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Folk, hold on to that this morning. That is a promise from Scripture. Not just to Mary, but to you and to me this morning. If God has given you a word in your life, there it is there. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, "For no word from God will ever fail." Ever fail. If God's given you the word in your heart and has revealed it in your heart, there it is. God, for no word of God will ever fail. And verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And then it goes on in verse 39 about Mary visiting Elizabeth. I just want to just go straight across now to verse 45. And this is what Elizabeth actually said to Mary when she came to see her. And verse 45, she said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." As I said, do we truly believe this morning the promises that God has given to us in our lives? Do we really believe? I encourage you, church, to hold on to those words, those things that have been spoken over you. You maybe not see them happen yet, but there has to be a believing. As I said at the beginning, as I introduced this, there has to be obedience and cooperation with God. It doesn't happen. You know, why would we receive a miracle if we don't believe in miracles? You know, if you don't believe in miracles, you probably will never get a miracle happen in your life. But God is there to perform a miracle. But sometimes we need to cooperate. Sometimes we need to be available, to be obedient to what God is saying. And sometimes you can trace back. I've looked at my own experience and I've said, like, God, you know, why hasn't this thing happened in my life? And I look back and really examine my life and I'll say, well, there's that thing that hasn't been sorted yet, or something that's not been dealt with yet. And sometimes God has to clear out the clutter to be able to come through with what he wants to come through with. And so we've just read that there. Mary was truly submitted to God's will, even though she didn't fully understand You know, and that's an amazing truth this morning. You know, she submitted to what the angel said. She said, she asked him the questions, and it's not wrong to question sometimes. Say, God, is that you? Did you really say that to me? And these are where the other gifts we've discussed over the previous couple of months come in. The gift of knowledge and the wisdom, you see. Because God will speak it out. And that's why sometimes you have a confirmation. God says something to your heart. And then you don't hear about it for a while. You say, God, is this really you? Did you really say I'm going to go to China as a missionary? That's just an example. Don't all go at once. But did you really say that? And sometimes, you know, a year down the road, you come in a meeting, we get a visitor to come in. And this visitor could get up, just like our visitors over there this morning. And this woman of God can get up and she can say, God's given me this picture of somebody here getting on a plane for China. And you say, Father, was that for me this morning? It's a year since you spoke into my heart and I've heard nothing about it since. But this lady gets up this morning and says, I've seen a picture of somebody getting on a plane for China. Are you really talking to me? And then nothing happens. You say, Lord, you know, just a bit more time. And a year or two goes by and you get into the meeting and somebody will get up and say, you know, oh, China needs the word of God. You know, is God calling you, my friend? And you're saying, is this really, really you, Lord? You know, we can talk ourselves sometimes out of the miracles. How many times do we need Father to tell us? How many times do we need him to just lay on the line before us? I was in that position before I came to Spain. And unbelievably, it was a guy from South Africa, a speaker at a conference. He knocked on my chest and got me by the throat as I was laid out on the floor in the Holy Spirit. And he pulled me up and he says, Andrew, he said, stop asking God to send you somewhere. When will you be ready to go? He didn't know me from Adam. But the Holy Spirit did. And it takes somebody to speak. And it was at that time. That was the clicking thing. That was the thing. And our miracle was that we were obedient. That's what it took. But we had years of saying, when will it be our turn? When will you send us, Lord? And it comes, sometimes God will bring somebody, a stranger in, and he'll get you by the throat and he'll shake you. And he said, it's time to do. It's time to be about the Father's business. And so often, you'll lose your miracle. You'll talk yourself out of it. You'll say, this cannot be. I tell you what, we're talking about things that are impossible this morning in the natural, but in God and in the supernatural, they are absolutely possible. So where are your impossibilities this morning, church? God will make them possible if you will trust him. If you will be obedient, if you will allow faith to rise in your heart, if you'll trust him, if you'll cooperate with him, all things are possible. And here was Mary, even though she didn't understand fully, saying, okay. You see, she was facing stoning. Joseph could pull away, whatever that means, you know. She could have been stoned for being pregnant before she was wed in those days. By saying yes to Jesus, or yes to the angel, through God speaking through to the angel, she put herself in a position of danger. You know, sometimes God calls us and we have to put ourselves in the position of being out on a limb. You know, that's when the miracles happen. They don't happen in the coziness of our normal life. I'm talking about extraordinary things happening here this morning. You know, and sometimes God puts us in positions and situations that are really out on the edge. And it's out on the edge where the miracles happen. It's out on the edge when you're lowering your friend through the roof at Jesus' feet because you can't get in for religious people. We spoke about that last week. Pray God, church, we'll never be a bunch of religious people sat here on a Sunday. We'll be a people who are saying, Father, move by your Spirit in this place. Change our hearts, change our lives. Show us what you want, Father. Help us out to deal with our minds and our thinking that we can actually hold on and take on board what you're saying to us in our lives. And although Mary said, how can this be? She said, in the end, Father, whatever you say, so be it. And she took a risk. But she had God's word on it. And I'll say it again this morning. If God has given you a word, you can stand on that word. You can stand on it this morning. If he's told you that he's going to do something in your life, you need to stand on it and hold on it. But not only just believe it, but do something about it. You know, sometimes we have to do something to make things happen. Sometimes we have to make a first step. You see, it didn't happen for lots of people. It didn't happen until the priest, you know, put his foot in the water into the sea that they crossed on dry land. It wasn't until Moses raised his staff in the front of the Red Sea. You see, when he did that, and I remember now, even as a child, in my religious education teacher at school, saying to me, all those years ago, she said, of course, she said, where they crossed the nation of Israel out of Egypt, where they crossed the Red Sea, it probably was just like a boggy place. You know, a place where there was, like, certain times of the year, there was only a little bit of water there, so they would have been able to cross. And this was my religious education teacher teaching me at school when I was in my teens. And this is what she said even then. So no, you don't be surprised what gets taught or not taught in schools these days. Even all those years ago, that's what was being said. You know, but my Bible doesn't say that. In Exodus 14:21, my Bible says that Moses stood there at the Red Sea and he raised his staff and God parted the waters and stacked the waters up on both sides and the children of Israel went through. And they said there was a wall of water to the right and a wall of water to the left. You see, we can talk ourselves out of the miracle because we can let people deceive us. They can say, it can't happen. It's not possible. Our God is a God of the impossible. Our God is a God of the miracle this morning. If we will believe, he can do it. He can do it. He did it for Moses. He can do it for you. He did it for all sorts of people. He did it for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You know, nobody can live in there. You know, heated up three times hotter than it normally is. One time was enough to kill anybody. Three times, make it three times. And not a hair of the head was singed. There was no smell of burning, the Bible says. You know, the God is a God of miracles. And he's the same God for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego as he is for Cliff and Julia. And you this morning, and every one of us here, every one of his creation, he is the same God. He doesn't change. And so there was Mary putting herself in the path of a miracle happening. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in the path of it happening and not stand on the sidelines and watching somebody else do it. God is calling us to be involved. And so often we let it go by us because we don't know what to do. But I'm hoping that through these last few weeks you'll have an idea. Because when we go out as a church and touch this community with the love of Jesus in 2013, you'll be saying, what did Andrew say about miracles? It can be mine. I can do this thing now. And I want to just raise faith level in every one of you here to say, I'm taking this on board. I'm claiming this as mine this morning. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let him strengthen you this morning. Don't talk out your miracle. You see, as I said to you on previous weeks, when my son was 21 and was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, you know, we put into action that level of faith. We've never walked in it before. We had to. There was no other way out. There was no going back. The same as it was for Moses at the Red Sea. There was no going back. The Egyptians were following them. There was only one way forward, and that was through the water. And for us, as a family, that was through the water. We had to go forward. We couldn't go backwards. We had to say, Father, what do we do in this situation? And we had to hold on to the God of miracles to take us through and believing. You see, my son's brain scan today will say that he has multiple sclerosis, yet he's walking in health and strength. Because we trusted Jesus. We trusted the report of the Lord and not the report of the doctors. And sometimes it's hard when we see sickness. You know, and it's almost like sickness and the enemies defying us to stand against it. But we need somebody to stand against it, even though it's impossible situation. We're not talking about the common cold or the flu now. I'm talking about big situations. sometimes God calls us to stand big in big situations. Because you see, as I said last week, before, it's not us, it's Him. And you are going to be put off time and time again, because you're going to be looking at you and looking at what you can do. And God says, don't look at you, look at Me. Because it's Me that's working the miracle. It's not us that works the miracle, it's Him that works the miracle. It's not Mary that was going to protect herself from all the fallout of becoming pregnant. You know, God was going to protect her. God has said the word, this is what's going to happen. God will make a way for her to go through this thing. And this is the God I'm talking about this morning. As I said, Matthew's brain scan says he has MS. And yet he walks in health and strength today. All these years on, he walks in health and strength because God is a God of miracles. Our head gets in the way, and we can talk things out. May we say what Mary said to the angel, and she said here, may your word to me be fulfilled. What's God's word to you today? May it be fulfilled. God is looking all over this planet this day, the 16th of December 2012, for those of us who will believe Him and cooperate with Him. And I ask you the question, church, this morning, will you? Will we? Will we cooperate with Jesus in the big situations? Sometimes we'll say, it's only a cold, I'll go and pray for that. Chances it'll be gone in a couple of days. That's not the faith I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the faith that moves mountains this morning. The faith that sees chains broken and people delivered and lives changed. And you can do it. Just the same as anybody else. Just the same as Moses did it and other people did it. And people there and Peter and Paul and Silas and all those that went out. The power of God remains the same. Doesn't He say, I am the same yesterday, today and forever? The God of yesterday is the God of today and will be the God of tomorrow. His power never changes. He remains constant. That's why we can come and worship Him this morning, because He doesn't change. We can trust Him this morning because He doesn't change. We can come before Him and we can lay our hearts and our lives before Him this morning because He doesn't change. He doesn't snap at us one day and love us the next. He loves us continually, day after day after day. He never, ever changes. And again, I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to whip through some of this now as normal. But there you go. Acts 3. Again, I've spoken about this so many times. I don't even want to go there this morning, but I just want to just re-emphasize. I've already spoke a little bit about it, and this is when Peter and John came to the temple, and there was this lame man from birth. Don't forget that. He wasn't just a lame man. He hadn't trodden a stone or tore his Achilles tendon or anything like that. He was lame from birth. You know, he'd never walked. He'd never stood up on his legs. You know, some of us, if we've been laid up for a while, their roof was laid up in the summer. You know, and I suppose when you actually did start getting up, it was a bit rickety, like we all are, because we're not using our pins. It takes a while to get them moving again, to get life in them. But, you know, let's not talk down this notable miracle that happened that day. This guy's legs hadn't worked, ever. They'd have been wasted away to nothing. You know, no muscles there to say, like, you know, well, you know, pray for that, it'll be okay, up you go. But a series of things happened here. You don't have to be, you know, you've all heard it before, I'm not going to go all over it again, but basically, stories like this. Peter and John go there, they see him, he wants money. They haven't got money. You can imagine them with their pockets turned out, you know, like that, if they had pockets in their cloaks. Got nothing. He's expecting the money. But that was his day, and what happens there is basically, you see the man, the lame man reaching out, you see Peter stopping, and if you read through it yourself, do it when you get home, read through Acts 3, isn't it, I think? Yeah, Acts 3, read it yourself. You see the lame man reaching up, you see Peter reaching down, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. Will you receive it? No. He wasn't getting what he wanted from Peter. He wanted, you know, the thought, I would imagine the thought of getting up and walking was lasting. He wanted money for that day. He reached up, please, please, help me. And Peter said, I've got nothing, mate. I've got no money, but I've got Jesus in my heart. Will you receive him now? In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. You know, he could have pulled his hand away and stayed on the floor. But there was something compelling about it, because Peter had been obedient to what Jesus had said. He said, go into all the world, touch them with my love, reach out. And this was his opportunity. Jesus was now gone into heaven, and there was just them, and he was willing to take a risk, and he wasn't putting his life on the line, as it was his reputation on the line. He's putting Father's reputation on the line as well. You see, because it wasn't Peter doing the healing, it was God doing the healing. He was just willing. He cooperated. He said, Father, just help me. If this man will get up, I want you to strengthen his legs. I want you to make him well. Wow. You know, this man received Peter's hand, and it says in the scripture, he helped him up to his feet. And this man got up and he started to leap all over the place. And you can imagine the shout, you can imagine the people around, because they'd walked past this man for 40 years, begging at the side of the road. Suddenly, this, you know, as I said, healing, miracles, prelude to salvation. 2,000 people added to the church, you read through in Acts 4, were added to the church. The 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost went up to 5,000 by the end of this. And Peter and John were imprisoned, took away, and questioned by the religious leaders because of what they'd done. How dare you do this thing? How dare you heal in Jesus' name? And you know, when you stand up and take a risk for the Lord, people will come against you sometimes. But don't worry about it, because it's all, if he's given you the word, he'll cover you, he'll sort you out. Don't worry about it. So often we're so worried about ourselves, so worried about our reputations, so worried about, you know, well, what if it doesn't work? Doesn't matter if it doesn't work. You know, it's up to God. Let God be the judge of that. So often we just belittle ourselves and belittle what Father has for us because of doubt, insecurity and fear like that. God's supernatural power reached into that situation that day.